there was a question. So it was a pretty big, a $2.6 million cleaning company. But the question had teed up here about what marketing channels, sounds funny, what marketing channels still work in home services?
So, you know, I'm diving in right now because, well, I just hired a new position for us and I hired a builder. I specifically sometimes look for a builder. I hired a builder for marketing.
Yeah.
And so I've been diving into marketing and really looking at stuff. And this builder, he's coming to work for all my companies. That's typically how when we hire somebody, they kind of help with all the things most of the time. And so we're diving in to organize it and we're really looking at marketing. But I think the question isn't what is still working. I think the question is where are my customers, right? Where are they at? Where are they making decisions and where are they looking for service? So, because I do believe that almost every marketing channel still works.
Yeah,
I do. I was just reading a post online about mailers, postcard mailers. Somebody grew their company from $500,000 to $1 million using postcards.
Yeah, just postcards.
She did it very consistently and very targeted. And so again, and that's why you see wrapped cars or yard signs. And so I don't think the problem is what is still working. It's where are my customers, my ideal customer. Everyone has a different customer. So the problem is that most businesses expect like one channel to like do the lifting or to do everything. And a lot of us think we have to use Google AdWords, Google AdWords, Google AdWords. God, I hate Google AdWords. I don't know about you guys. Like I love them, but I hate them. It's kind of like my Indeed relationship. If anyone can agree, like it's a love hate God. And so I look at marketing in really three buckets. And you guys got to ask yourself, and at the end, I'll give you a list of like, what are all the things I can look at when it comes to marketing? All the things. And there's also different segments of marketing. There's top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom funnel. And if you were at the customer intensive or customer build room, I whipped out a marker and I blew Heather Lovewater's mind with the marketing funnel.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God, that's like the one thing I needed.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even on the agenda for a teach.
Oh no, that was just
it came from the Q&A off the fly. And so there are different segments within marketing. And I think, you know, marketing companies, agencies, I don't know, I have a love-hate relationship with those too, because they're extremely expensive and they're only targeting bottom funnel. They're only targeting get a quote, sign up for a cleaning, like filled out this lead intake form. And that's all bottom funnel. And what I explained in that, in the customer intensive was like, nobody knows who the hell you are, but right away we're asking them to commit to something.
Yeah.
And they're like, who are you?
Right.
Like, I've never heard of you. Why should I fill out your lead intake form? And so we have those funnel segments, but also marketing can fit into three general buckets is the demand capture, as in where are people currently looking for my service?
Uh-huh.
And that is, you know, and again, this is with home service. So you could be cleaning or plumbing or HVAC or whatever, but that's typically searching on Google, Google Maps, SEO, and your traditional, like, more local stuff.
Yeah.
Where are people searching? And I think also, you know, then you add social media. They're searching on Facebook now. I actually think they're searching more on social media and in Facebook groups than they are searching on Google. I think it's pretty even right now. It's a one, I think it used to be, it was Google and then I went and asked on Facebook, but I think now I'm asking on Facebook and I'm verifying them on Google.
Yeah. I'll tell you what is that when I'm looking for the latest things or what people are in the in. I'm going to Facebook.
Yeah, I'm going to Facebook. I looked for a yard guy to cut the yard. I went to Facebook. I was looking for something else. I went to Facebook. So also, what are you doing when you're looking for that home service company?
Yeah.
So there's those three buckets. There's demand. Where are they looking? I'm sorry, demand capture. Where are my ideal customers looking? I'm going to say right now, my ideal customers are probably not looking on TikTok, but I could be making a wrong assumption. And then demand creation. These people weren't looking, but I just reminded them of it and now they want the service, right? So they weren't looking until we reminded them. And that is kind of where your Instagrams, your TikToks, your email mailers, or your mailers come into play.
It's interruptive marketing.
They weren't looking, but I just reminded them of it. And then there's trust building is the third bucket. And that is, you know, this category is more, sometimes we ignore it. But it's more about your reputation, right? Hire companies that you trust. It's more reputation. So it's reviews, before and after pictures really do this. Educational videos do this. Case studies, which case studies aren't popular in cleaning.
Right.
But case studies are really popular in other services. Really popular. And case studies are extremely valuable.
Yeah.
It's like, what was it? So to do a case study, it's simply asking three questions. It's like, what was it like before you used my service? What's it like using my service? And what would you tell anybody on the fence? Like, that's literally how you film a case study or capture a case study. You could do it through video. You could through the written word. And case studies are amazing for trust building and social media and like blog creation.
Yeah. I will say, like, it might be a little bit more not as relevant for something like home cleaning, for instance.
I would say, but what was it like before you used my service?
Right. Oh, so it can be,
I had to do it myself. It sucked. Like, no one helped me around the house. Now what's it like once you're using my service?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I come home from work and my house is clean. It's amazing.
And so it's,
and then what would I say to anyone on the fence would be like, oh gosh, it's worth every penny. Like, I get my weekends back. So it is, I will argue it is.
Yeah. And I meant to say that it's a little bit more of a lightweight.
Oh, okay.
You don't think it's worth doing because it's very, you feel like it's just cleaning.
Yeah.
But
you mean from the business perspective?
From the business perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, it's tapping into that intimacy of what's happening from it. Like, I know that organizing is a little bit deeper,
yeah,
but more intimate. But yeah.
So I'll keep going with the building the trust, right? It was reviews, which we are all obsessed with. So, but it's before and after pictures, build trust, educational how to's. We see all those influencers on TikTok, right? With how to videos.
Yeah.
Case studies, which are huge, behind the scenes captures, team intros, like, you know, introducing team members, when you hire a new team member, team member's birthday, and then owner content. And I think everybody runs away from owner content.
Yeah.
But people buy from people. They don't, but that builds more trust than anything.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would stop asking what marketing channels are working right now and really ask where is my next customer right now? Where are they at before they make the buying decision? You know, are they in Google? Are they in ChatGPT? You can search this. Typically, if your marketing person set up your Google analytics, it will tell you where your top searches come from. I highly recommend it. If your marketing company or agency didn't set up your Google analytics, it's not rocket science. You're simply just connecting your website to all the things in the world. And Google is tracking, or Google connects your website to all the links in the world. And Google's tracking where those come from. It's really, really insightful.
Yeah.
So, you know, where's your next customer at right before they buy? And so let's go back to the marketing funnel. I wish I had a paper, because the top of funnel is all about awareness. It's like, look at me. I understand how you feel. I'm a mom too. Oh my God, I have kids too. I have a dog too. Oh, my dog's right here. I didn't even see him. And that relates to the buyer.
Yeah.
Right? They're not interested yet. You're just creating awareness, saying, look at me. Middle funnel is, I'm the expert, right? That's more in the decision-making process, and that's right before they need you. And that's where the expert comes in. Like, hey, download my free cleaning checklist. Or like, hey, I'm going to do a product review. Or, hey, I'm an expert, so you should listen to me.
That's the consideration phase.
Consideration phase. And that's where they are right before they make a purchase.
Yeah.
And then bottom funnel is, get an estimate, get a quote, here's a sale, look at my review. And typically what I find is we're all in that bottom funnel stage, and that's all we're doing, but we're building no trust and we're building no authority, because authority comes from top of funnel, which is awareness, and trust comes from the middle funnel, which is in that consideration phase. And then they make that decision in bottom funnel, which is get a quote.
It's that comparison phase of apples to apples. Why you instead of somebody else? Because they're already looking with the intention.
Yeah. And we put all of our dollars in that bottom funnel, like, get a quote, here's a promo, when in reality, it's supposed to be about a 70-20-10 split. 70% of your money, time, or effort go in top of funnel, which is awareness marketing. 20% goes in middle funnel, which is, I'm an expert, read my blog, check out my YouTube video, here's a free download. And 10% of time or money and effort goes in bottom funnel. And this doesn't change overnight, because as you flip, awareness takes time to build. You can't just say, okay, Libby said to only spend 10% on bottom funnel, which is PPC ads, like direct pay-per-click ads. No, you can't do that. You have to start building that awareness and that trust. And over time, you can start to adjust your budget. And what happens is you can reduce your ad spend, extremely reduce it, and also not be dependent on one channel, right? Because you're diversifying over the channels. So invest in awareness. I really need you to invest in awareness, because no matter what marketing channel you're using, if you don't have awareness, it's all going to be extremely expensive. And I think the biggest mistake we make is that we jump from platform to platform to platform, because we think that this month it's Facebook. And then you're like, oh, but I saw this cool thing and I need to be on TikTok now. And now I need to focus on SEO. But marketing rarely fails because of the platform. It fails because we're inconsistent, right? We need to make sure, and we quit before, we quit too early.
Yeah. What did you say? This was in the customer event. The lifespan of lead to customer.
Oh, like the percentage of
how
people
long,
are really looking for?
How long was it that you had to keep going and going and going?
So my close rate, I showed it at the customer intensive from my CRM, because your CRMs should tell you from when a lead comes in to a customer. Mine was 77 days. I think it was 77 days. I'm like, that's insane, because we do market differently.
Yeah.
But I pay 29 cents for an email.
Right.
To remarket to versus $250 for an email in a form.
Yeah. If it's optimized, otherwise you're paying $500 on Google ads.
So my marketing is different, but it's a longer life cycle, but it's a cheaper lead.
Yeah.
Right. And so, because we're building that awareness, we're giving out those downloads, we're capturing emails before they even need the cleaning. Why? Because only 1%. So I didn't make up this number, right? This was a number it's pretty common that out of 100 people that see your bottom funnel PPC get a quote ad, out of 100 people, only one person, so 1% out of 100 would actually be ready to buy. They're ready to move forward. And so we're putting all that time and effort to 1% of people who are actually ready to commit. At that stage versus when they are ready, will they remember who you are? Are they already following you on social media? Do you already have their email so that you can retarget them through email? I have 29,000 leads in my Organize It CRM. 29,000 leads. How many leads do I have in my Libby Dilution email? Yesterday, 60,000.
Yeah.
Granted, not all the ones in Libby Dilution are great leads,
right?
But in Organize It, they're all legitimate, real leads that came in locally in Fort Myers, 29,000 leads. And that's just because we market. And so all channel, it's not what channel is it working right now. You have to find what channel works for you and for where your customer is currently at. So I'll be honest, I put no effort into things like TikTok. I put no effort into Instagram, really. We put the majority of our effort into Facebook and into Google, right? Or into SEO.
Yeah.
Like blogs or being more of authority. So it's Facebook, which is the majority. And second on my social media list would be Instagram, but I don't put any effort into any other ones because my customers we found are there. I want a young career working mom. And we're very specific on that because we live in a very interesting area.
Yeah.
We live in a retirement area, and I don't need like Mrs. Jones behind us with a toothbrush telling us we missed an area. So long answer to a...
No, it's great.
But so your micro move this like to this answer is, or your action is, take the week and map out where your last 10 customers came from. Where'd they come from? Are you tracking it? And I think, you know, Summer taught at our customer intensive, and she said something really interesting that I loved that no one talks about is, what about the customers, the leads that didn't convert? So many people are worried about the leads that did convert, like they filled out that form, so you knew they were there. But how many people come to your website and just leave? Now, there are tools out there that can capture that information.
Legal or not.
And so for the longest time, I could see and get the email address of the person that was on my Organize It website.
Yeah.
I could see my stalkers. It was really interesting. But I could also see how long was someone on the website, when did they leave, what page did they leave at? Because I think that is just as important at looking at, we're so focused on, did they fill out that lead form? But how many people came and didn't do anything?
Yeah.
They just left. But your micro move is map out your last 10 customers. How did they hear about you, first hear about you? Like before they filled out that lead intake form, what made them call you or what made them fill out that form? And what almost stopped them from buying? Now, these are great questions you can ask during the sales process. And then why did they choose you? Why did you choose us? And you know, I think that we need to stop chasing a channel. We need to build a customer journey. So for my OS1 members, we built a customer journey 2 or 3 weeks ago, a visual customer journey. We built it.
Yeah.
So stop chasing channels. Build your customer journey. Know where they're coming from and how they're going through. And then stop being like a fair weather fan on the choices. Go all in on a few choices. If you're going to do mailers, do them consistently. If you're going to do Facebook, do it consistently. Instead of doing a whole lot of things, like half-ass. And that's what I used to do. A whole lot of things, just halfway done.
Yeah. Or I'll try this because so-and-so said it worked great for them in this season.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try it for a month. And then, or just one time, I send out 500 postcards and that's it.
Yeah. It's about committing and going all in on those channels. And I know sometimes it can be nervous. And we learned this in SaaS Academy from Dan. When you do too many channels and you do too much tracking, like it's a nightmare, you're overworking. Pick your channels, your handful, exhaust them. You could probably never exhaust them.
Yeah. It's a law of diminishing returns.
Yeah. And before you start adding more and more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much, I wouldn't just get a little dash of lemon and then throw it away. No, I'm going to mess sparkling water. I'm going to bring that thing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Is there any questions in the chat?
Not yet. I think we're coming into, we're mid swing here with summer.
Yeah. All right. Our next question.
Next question I have teed up. I know. So this is going to be a big one. Especially for us coming into this people event that we have.
Yeah.
It's a nice play. So question came in, how do you stop yourself from constantly repeating instructions when onboarding or training a new team member?
I love this question. And that's because, you know, most owners think they're training. Most people think they're training someone, but what they're actually doing is you're the walking instruction manual. How many of us feel like the walking instruction manual? And so just because we have some onboarding stuff doesn't mean we actually have an onboarding system. And this comes into play with every new employee gets a new version of onboarding. Every existing employee got a slightly different version of onboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And every time someone has a question, they get a different answer, right? Based off where you're at emotionally, or they just get a slightly different answer. And so the owner continues, we continue to answer it again and again and again. And that isn't onboarding, right? That is a dependency. You're the walking onboarding manual. And I can't stress this enough. Google Docs in a drive isn't a system. They're just docs in a drive. There's no pattern to how they can use it. They can't retrieve it. Sometimes they have to wait for you. And so every time a question is asked twice, that's your signal it's your signal that the business has a slight problem, right? The business is telling you there's no home for this. This needs a home. So I'm going into my organizing. This needs a home.
Yeah.
Right. You hear that all the time with like getting the house tidy and organized. Everything needs a home, but there's no home for it. So maybe it's a checklist, a system, an SOP, a training video, or just a knowledge base or knowledge article. So whatever it is, it should have a home and it should not be living in your head, or you should not have to necessarily retrieve it every time. So I want you to think of it like kind of like a rule where don't answer the same thing three times, or don't answer the same question three times. The first time, answer it. And the second time, document it.
Because the second time it becomes a repeatable.
Yeah. So don't answer the same question three times. When there's a question, you can answer it. The second time it's asked, document it. And the third time you can refer to it. So you can refer to that. Hey, ask Leia, hey, check blah, blah, blah.
And I love that, because then comes in your policy on what comes after that third time of ask Leia, is that now it becomes a three strike rule of I'm going to tell you to look for it.
Yeah. Kind of like three strike rule. Oh, like we use like shame on me, shame on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our three strike rule is shame on me. I must not have trained you on that. Let's go over it.
or put it in front of you to give it to you. Yeah.
Second time is shame on you. We just covered this. I know.
Yeah.
And the third time is like, you're out.
Yeah. It's not going to work out.
But why do you want to do that on the third time? Well, I mean, why do you want to do that? Answer it, document it, point to it. By doing this, you're slowly building a business that teaches itself, right? You're slowly building a business that teaches itself. And we all know the benefit that Leia plays into that. Why? It's a place to do it. It's a place to store it. It's a place to build that brain, and it's a place to organize it. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make is that we think we don't have time to document it.
Yeah.
Like we think we don't have time to build the onboarding. We think that, oh my God, I have to, when I have enough time to do it right, to do it perfect. And I'm a reformed perfectionist, but it takes you longer to repeat yourself every time a question is asked than if it would be if you were to just document it. But documenting it isn't the solution, like the all and be all. You have to organize it. Here's one thing I've never said about Leia. You could just throw all your crap in there and she would answer the question, even if it was unorganized. You could just upload the proper docs and just leave them unsorted and it would still build her brain and she could still answer the question, but that's not what we're trying to do, but that's the cheat.
Organized knowledge.
But instead of saying, I'll take the time, it takes longer to document than just to answer the question. That's where we got to get out of that. We got to get that out of our head. You know, the first time, okay, but after that, you've answered the question 25 freaking times, 25 times, and you're ready to just like, I don't know, drive your car off a cliff. I've been there. That's why I know that. Like, I think one time I told Chris, I think I'm going to drive my car into the tree right now. This was years ago. Like when I was still in the field, I was like, I just want to die because it's like, you're losing your mind.
Yeah.
And so you're going to spend far more time answering it 25 times than if you would have just documented it.
Yeah.
So I want you to think about this. Documentation, capturing is an investment.
Yes.
It is. It's an investment. It's adding to that investment bank so that you can then cash in when you want to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Or you need to actually get something done, do some deep work.
It's like long-term investment over time. Cool. You save more money.
Yeah. But every time someone uses it, it pays you back.
Yeah.
I mean, I want you to think about that. Every time you document something and someone uses it, it's paying you back.
Yeah.
It's paying you back in the form of money and time. I wish I had the ROI on that.
Times how many people would have asked you that question. And so if that was three people on your team.
I love this topic because it pays you back. So my suggestion for you guys this week is for the week.
Yeah.
This was also in the book, is to simply just on your phone notes, capture all the questions that were asked to you today, this week.
Yeah.
If you don't want to capture them on your phone, the cheat code or to cheat, you could export your chats in like WhatsApp or Slack or Google Chat, as long as they're not in the DMs.
Even Discord, I think you can export.
Even Discord. If not, just take screenshots.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Or copy and paste and pull it all the way down. Most of them will copy.
Yeah.
And for the week, and just capture the top asked questions, I can guarantee you they're repeating probably every couple weeks or every week, and just pick the top three out of that and dive in and make a micro play.
Yeah.
And, or I don't care where you do it. I don't even care if you use our platform. I just want you to do it. Do it in Google Drive, do it in a doc.
Yeah.
Do it in Leia, do it wherever you want, but just do it.
Yeah. And so I would say I truly love this concept, and I didn't understand it until I guess like a year and a half ago when we're going through that one layer deep exploration of like building on the concept, but rhythms. And I know we shared this at the people intensive, our first event in Hugo was rhythms. And we dug deep into rhythms and the idea of having a weekly cadence at the end of the week to what we said is like the top 10, like you said, the fix first fires, exporting it, pulling it. But what that gives you is as the owner or as the leading operator, because I know there's a lot of other operators in this room right now, is for those that are actually doing the work day to day, you get pulled away throughout the entire week. So end of week, Friday, pulling that information and getting a breakdown. And we do this with Leia, is we dump it in there and ask Leia, give me my top 10 fix first fires based on the chats, and then just dump it all in there.
Yeah.
She'll organize it and give you and tee you up with what you need to fix first and what microplay you can use to fix it. And so this is great because Fridays, you leave with the week, you're now out of the day-to-day. And for most of us, I'll be honest with you, we're always working on the weekends anyway.
Yeah.
And so we have that headspace to get it out of the way so we never have to deal with it again.
I like that. You could at least make one microplay a week if you just dumped it into Leia and said, hey, what are my fix first fires? Can you make me a microplay for the most urgent one that will save me the most time? And she'll make it for you.
Start with one.
Just start with one. Just one. So to kind of round this out and wrap it up, and if you guys have questions, you can drop them in. But one of my favorite sayings is, if you're the one repeating the instructions, you're still the system. You are the system, right? And the goal isn't to become the system, right? The goal is to build a business that teaches people consistently what to do, whether you're there or not. Yes. And I think one of my probably greatest life accomplishments is creating Leia, but creating Leia so simple that the owners aren't the only builders. We have office managers, we have assistants, we have virtual specialists, we have salespeople being builders. So it's not so dependent no more. So ask for help if you need help. And because sometimes that's just not our superpower. Sometimes making an SOP or a checklist or Google Doc or capturing the process is not our superpower. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. And I would say this is also being willing to let go.
But I'm the only one that can do it.
But we saw also some spouses, some couples, where for the longest time it was like, I have to do this because I'm the owner. My husband is not involved in the company. So why should I ask him? But asking for help, we have those weekend warriors, those spouses that are actually there and building 10 times faster.
We actually have a couple spouses that have that established that really good build handoff relationship.
Yeah.
Where the husband is building inside Leia because he gets it. And then he's handing it off to his wife to then organize it in the proper spot.
The polish,
review it. What do you think? And I think we have three or four couples that are doing that and they're doing it pretty well.
Yeah. And the speed at which they can execute now is incredible.
But you don't have to be a husband and wife team.
No.
Do that. One of the greatest things about Leia is that even if you had, let's just say a BS or an assistant or an office manager or just a helper in the office that didn't know that much about your industry or your company, the greatest thing about Leia is that if you ask, say, hey, JP, I need you to make me a micro play on our customer cancellation policy. The greatest thing about Leia is that JP doesn't need to know hardly anything about it. He could just ask Leia to make it, and she has enough context and knowledge about the company and or the industry that she's going to give you a pretty great output.
Yeah.
At least a great starting base to say, hey, here, owner, review this. This is what I made. And the owner would be like, oh, that's actually pretty good. Maybe we just need to tweak a couple sentences.
I say she's not your 101 type of gal.
She's not ChatGPT. No. And I just got off so every Tuesday I meet with Organize It. I should make Organize It join this call, by the way. I just got off the meeting with Organize It, and my mom, she runs the Oklahoma location, and she was so proud of her Leia. She's like, oh my God, I love this. It's amazing. It's like everything we do. I'm like, yeah, mom, because we made it. She goes, look at all my quick links, because she was setting up her own dashboard, and she was showing it off to our sales and our ops manager, look at, and she goes, I've made the weekly meeting on the Leia board. So she made her weekly meetings. And she was just, she's like, I love this. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, it's good.
My goal was to make it so that it didn't have to be owner led.
Yes. Yeah. Which is super cool how it's evolving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, enough about Leia, but that's the thing. If you're the one repeating the instructions, you're the system. And that's a sad, but true statement. And we all start that way. And that's okay. We do. We all start that way. And we then have to learn to get it out of our heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or steal it from other people.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap it up. Yeah. All right, guys. Ever wish your business could answer questions, train employees, and organize everything you know without you having to repeat yourself? Isn't that the dream? That's exactly why I built Leia. After building and documenting the systems behind my very own seven-figure home service company, we created a AI chief operating officer that captures your knowledge, supports your team, and helps your business run smarter every single day. If you're ready to turn what's in your head into a business asset, visit 1ld.ai.